You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So Taylor found a picture of a Chinese food box that had been unfolded that looks like it's a quasi-functional plate. Yeah.
I think it could work.
Yeah,
yeah.
It looks. I don't know. I guess the only way to find out is to do field research and go order more Chinese food to see if it comes together. I love.
Must be hard on you.
I love finding out things like that. I don't know what it is like. Wait, how did I get to be 50 years old and not know that you can unfold that box and it becomes a plate? I feel like these are the things they should teach in school.
Yeah, Daniel Nguyen in the Travis and Tsleil-Waututh community sent a picture of what looks like lo mein noodles in an unfolded box, and I gotta say, it does look functional.
Yeah, do you have any of those like little secret little hacks?
No, I'm kind of taken aback by this, because I've been eating Chinese food for a long, long time.
And you're eating it out of a box like a sucker.
I kind of like eating it out of the box, though.
Well, you know why? Because you can get into the corners with that spoon, and you can get every last
spoon.
Little kernel of rice. Oh, yeah. I mean, once you get to the bottom of the box, okay, you're not going to take out the last kernel of rice with chopsticks. You'll be there all day. I'm reasonably adept with chopsticks.
Okay.
But to a grain of rice or two?
I don't know. There's something cool looking eating straight out of the box with the chopsticks.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's something I think that like looks aesthetically cool. Like, there are movies that I've seen characters that I associate with cool doing that, so there's a coolness factor attached to it. There's something, I don't know why, but there's kind of zen about doing it that way.
So this is why they're both a correct tool and something that I choose to not use occasionally when I'm eating things that make, you know, with sushi I always use them, but like Chinese food, for instance, sometimes I'll just go fork or spoon or mm-hmm. whatever it is. The reason it's a good idea is it slows you down. You have to be more deliberate in your actions of using these things. And I like to eat as fast as humanly possible. I like to have like a cloud of dust when I'm done, and I can't get that done with chopsticks.
Really?
No, I can't. I'd give myself a C+ with them. I can use them, but I can't just tear through
them. They force you to take your time in a way that frankly you're not comfortable with.
Yes, I would like to. It's still sitting on the plate. Why is it not in my mouth? Why is it not inside where I need it to be?
You know,
it's still sitting there.
Maybe this is a cultural thing now that I think about it, or it's just specific to my wife and her family. She and her mom eat way slower than I do. Like, they eat really, really slow. And I don't know if that is a like Mexican-American cultural thing, or that's just me eating fast. She sometimes just move slow, period. So maybe it's more her. I tend to eat quicker sometimes because I'm just eating while multitasking.
Sure.
But also because like I want it while it's still hot.
Sure.
And things can cool down really quickly.
Yes.
But
all good reasons.
But that is something I've noticed, though. She eats, and her mother could spend like an hour and a half on one plate.
No.
She goes she takes a while.
Did you know that if you take the tab on a can of soda and you turn it around, it's a little holder for your straw? Did you know that? The little opening in the end?
No, but yep. I don't use straws.
Neither do I, but I like seeing that. I like the design that was involved in saying, you know what, if we punch a hole through the backside, people that are straw people, it'll sit there snugly and not knock around.
That is interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
I want more of these. If anybody knows more of these, your Chinese food box will turn into a plate. Hit us up. Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to downtown and John. John, you're on with Trav and Andy. What's going on?
Hey, I called earlier when you were talking about LeBron and like whether he's a Laker and all that. You know, I was pretty lukewarm. I'm a longtime fan. But I got to admit, man, this season has really sold me on LeBron. He's put his head down. He could have made things really difficult for the organization, but he kind of sat back and said, let Rob do his job. He shows up to work. He's like putting on a show every night. And we got a sleeping giant in this team. Thank you. Love you guys.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I don't... To say that he sat back and let him do his job, maybe. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening.
He offered public suggestions.
Yes.
On how to do his job.
Yes.
Like, you know, he was not being openly critical and like openly holding Pelinka's feet to the fire. Like his first season with the Lakers, when LeBron made it really clear, ship these kids out and get me Anthony Davis now.
Yeah.
Like that was done in a way that it disrupted the locker room. I was around that team a lot.
Yeah.
That had a bad effect.
Well, you look at this team. And when Kyrie Irving, what was it 2 weeks ago or so, just kind of, and I don't want to say out of nowhere because nothing's out of nowhere. Either everything or nothing is out of nowhere with Kyrie. Take your pick. I want out of here. The Lakers were obviously near the top of the list of potential destinations. It's the destination that I think Kyrie preferred. And when it didn't go down, LeBron was very, not even like hinting at his dissatisfaction that it didn't happen. He basically said, yeah, that was a bummer that didn't go down. He's not just sitting there quietly saying, okay, I'll play with whoever you give me. He's still working the
right
room.
But as far as him not openly complaining about it or being openly disruptive, it probably helped that Pelinka made some really significant moves at the deadline. Like I think we would have heard more open dissatisfaction from LeBron if the trade deadline passed and the Lakers did nothing significant at all. And I would understand where he was coming from. You know, whether I think something like, I'm not in favor of bringing in Kyrie on a long-term deal.
No.
But the idea that this would pass and you would do nothing, it's like, well, your offseason plan better be nails. Because otherwise, what are we doing?
The moves that they made and the price that they paid to make them felt that you kind of miraculously split that hair perfectly.
I think Rob Pelinka did incredible work.
That you got better without paying a premium to do it. You had to pay something. But it wasn't like, here's everything we're ever going to have to bring in something that may or may not help. This was, here's some of the things we have for something that is very likely to help, but also will help us be better next year and potentially give us optionality beyond that. It was the first thing I've seen them do in a very long time that wasn't right in front of their face. Let's fix it today. We'll worry about tomorrow. This helps us today, but it also gives us a little bit of runway in the future.
Well, here's going to be the ultimate test in the idea of, you said like they didn't have to pay a lot. Will they commit to D'Angelo Russell long-term or Rui Hachimura long-term? You know, maybe decline Malik Beasley's team option to come into a longer deal, because those are the type of players that the Lakers have not committed to in a while. Like, they've been very unwilling to commit long-term to anybody who is not a bona fide star. And that's a really limited way to go about team building. So they have a real opportunity this offseason to show that they are thinking about everything that comes with team building, not just collecting the stars.
Do you think that what they do between now and the end of their season, whenever that is, if they, let's say, I mean, there's a million, you could say they don't get into the play-in, they get in the play-in and lose, they get into the play-in and win, they get into the playoffs and lose, they get into the playoffs and win a round, and how many, I mean, there's a million different end games to this. Does how far into those options they get determine what you were talking about, determine whether, because let's say they do all of these, and it's not likely, but it's certainly possible that they don't even get into the play-in. That they've made all these. So do we really want to run that back? Or can you tell yourself, listen, these guys were here for 5 minutes. We never got a chance to integrate this into a cohesive team. Give us an offseason. Give us a full season. This is going to be a pretty darn good team. Or it is entirely dependent on how far they go.
Okay, assuming that LeBron and AD stay available for the rest of the season, there's 23 games left. Let's just say the supporting cast stays healthy. What did they look like? Because they may be too far gone down this path to get themselves either into the play-in or to win that play. Like, they may have one opportunity to win a play-in game. You know, right. They have to win two in a row.
They might need to win two, right?
Right. So, you know, good teams can lose two games in a row. Like, mm-hmm. That can happen. Or good teams can lose one game. What did they look like? Did they look like a legitimate team? If they look like a legitimate team, they should give consideration to bringing them back, regardless of the outcome, because they created this situation in a place of disadvantage. Like, mm-hmm. you can't judge it purely on the outcome. That's a bad way to go about framing it.
All right, so there is some bad news regarding Clayton Kershaw that I think is actually very, very good news for Dodger fans. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey guys, so I don't know if you guys saw the news, but Travis Kelce was announced that he's going to host SNL on March 4th.
I did see that.
So he's going to join kind of a long list of athletes who have hosted SNL. So I kind of want to throw out there a kind of game where you have to say whether or not this person hosted SNL. So I'm going to list a athlete, and you have to say whether or not they hosted SNL.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so we're going to start off with...
Travis Kelce.
Andy Roddick. Did Andy Roddick host SNL?
I'm fairly certain he did.
I'll go with yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Yes, he did host SNL. What about...
He was a big deal.
Yeah, Andy, he had Andy a moment. Roddick. He had a moment. And by the way, where he had his biggest moment, New York City, U.S. Open, bam.
Kind of works. Yep. What about Scottie Pippen? Did Scottie Pippen host SNL?
No, and it probably eats him alive that Jordan did it and he never did. Just one more thing that Michael Jordan got to do that Scottie Pippen, nobody thought he could do on his own.
I'm going to say no to Scottie. Scottie doesn't strike me as Mr. Charisma, but I'm going to say no.
Taylor?
I think yes.
He did not host SNL, so that is an no on that. So let's see. Let's go with Magic Johnson. Did Magic Johnson host SNL?
I don't think so. I don't remember Magic being on Saturday Night Live. And when Magic would have been the host of Saturday, like when Magic was at the peak of his athletic stardom, I was pretty plugged into Saturday Night Live in that era. So I'm going to say no.
No, I don't recall him ever doing it.
No.
Yes, he has not hosted SNL, but who played him on SNL?
Like as a
who
the character? Like a,
yes,
one of the
most
cast members?
Recently, what cast member has played Magic Johnson?
I don't know the new cast.
I'm just going to play the numbers here because he's been there forever and they typically don't have a bunch of black cast members. Keenan Thompson.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Has been
that's just the process of elimination.
Interestingly, he also played LeVar Ball.
Amazingly played LeVar Ball. Yes, let's give Keenan Thompson his credit.
All right, what about Brett Favre? Has Brett Favre hosted SNL? Ooh.
Andy, would you like to go first?
I'm going to say no.
Favre had a moment, too, where he was one of the biggest sports stars in the country. I don't remember it, but it feels like something he would have done. I'm going to say yes.
Okay,
yes.
Taylor?
I think yes.
He has not hosted SNL,
Andy
but
wins.
Who played Brett Favre in
Keenan
a commercial about making fun of his Wrangler jeans commercial?
Bill Hader.
Andy Samberg?
Nope. Jason Sudeikis. Jason Sudeikis played Brett Favre in that. Okay.
Favre ain't going to be hosting it anytime soon.
Be careful. He'll sue you.
All right. So, J.J. Watt. Has J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
Hosted SNL.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure he has.
Yeah.
And I think he's the most recent athlete to host SNL. He was the most recent, he's the most recent NFL player to host SNL. Let me go with... Simone Biles. Has Simone Biles hosted SNL?
This is a total guess. Yeah.
I have no idea either. Sure. I'm going to try to catch Andy. I'm going to say no.
Taylor?
I say yes, she has.
She has not hosted SNL. All right, all right.
Robbing Keenan Thompson of a role of a lifetime.
All right, what about John Madden? Has John Madden hosted SNL?
So this kind of goes with what we were talking about yesterday, that Tom Brady's producing a biopic of John Madden's life. I think one of the reasons that that's such a good idea is not just because John Madden has this really remarkable thing of being remarkably famous yet not well known, if you understand what I'm getting, the distinction between the two. You put up John Madden's face, I think most people, and certainly people of a certain age, will know who he is. If you said, what do you know about him other than he was a football coach, broadcaster, and video game pioneer? I don't know. He rode the bus? Like, he's kind of an unknowable guy, or at least it seems that way. Doesn't seem like something you would do. It's a long way of saying I don't think he did it.
I want to live in a world where he did, so I'm going to say yes.
I say no.
He did host SNL. Oh, he did.
That sounds interesting. Like, I feel like John Madden could never not be John Madden.
Right.
I mean, they probably don't want him to be anything other than John Madden.
Okay, I have one more. Bill Russell. Has Bill Russell hosted SNL?
The Dodger shortstop from the 70s and 80s? No.
Has Bill Russell hosted SNL?
Yeah, just to be clear, we're talking NBA Bill Russell.
Yes, yeah. We are talking NBA Bill Russell.
Then I need to maybe reconsider.
Yes, he has.
Okay. Travis?
Andy's ahead of me by one?
Yeah.
So I have to say no.
Okay. Taylor?
No.
He has hosted SNL. Andy wins.
Okay. Unsolicited plug. And this will be coming out, I believe, next week, my conversation with the director of the Netflix documentary that's out now on Bill Russell.
Oh.
It's a two-parter. It's actually really good. It's really interesting. Gets into a lot of stuff about his personal life and some really interesting things I didn't know. The director's name, I believe, is Sam Pollard that I interviewed. But I'm
where is the interview going to live?
It's going to live on the Locked On Lakers podcast. It's available 5 days a week anywhere you get your podcast: iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher.
Is there a YouTube component?
There is, Travis, a YouTube component. But I believe that actually came up in the documentary, because this is one of the things I had no idea about this. Bill Russell, basically, when his time with the Celtics ended, he left his family in Boston and moved to Los Angeles. Like, he left them behind.
Was he alienated from them, or just it was just a
I think
choice?
He alienated himself from them. Like, he ended up getting divorced from his wife. He had a few marriages, and then I would assume this caused some friction with his children that he left in Boston. But he kind of went on this, I don't know if it was a personal quest as much as just looking for something completely different, needing to be away from his family. But he went to an entirely different coast while at the time still married with kids.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It's a really interesting documentary.
Yeah, and the interview. That's a very successful tease, Andy, both the doc and the interview. All right, so here's Clayton Kershaw news. The World Baseball Classic, we're getting close to starting that. I'll circle back to this. Let me give you the news first. Bob Nightingale on Twitter: Clayton Kershaw bows out of the WBC, calls it super disappointing. Juan Toribio tweets: Dodgers Clayton Kershaw said he won't be able to play for Team USA. He's completely healthy. Mentioned he's, quote, bummed and frustrated that he can't participate. Okay, I get it. Clayton, as far as the things that Clayton Kershaw needs to accomplish in the world of baseball, he's checked every box that there is. If this is something he's dying to do, okay, fine, whatever. If Clayton Kershaw wants to do it, he can. I'm glad that he's not. The WBC, the World Baseball Classic, Emily didn't know it existed until this morning. Okay, and she's 26. Okay, so it's a 26-year-old person who works in sports, loves sports, didn't know this thing existed until the last day or two. All right, I'm a baseball fan. I have watched the World Baseball Classic. I can't tell you the team that won the last time they did this or the time before that. I don't know. The point being, it's not a particularly prestigious or important event yet. Maybe you could argue that they're trying to build something. Clayton Kershaw every year breaks down somewhere around May or June, then breaks down again somewhere around late July, early August, and then you cross your fingers and hopes he gets to the finish line in October, right? The last thing he needs is to be throwing super competitive pitches in February, March, and at that point in the schedule. It's just for who, for what? This is not the Olympics. This is not something that everybody – it's not the World Cup. It is – I know it's trying to be, but it's just not. So why would somebody at this stage in his career, I don't say why, but I'm happy that somebody at this stage in his career isn't going to do that, because I don't care if the Americans win the World Baseball Classic or not. I do care if the Dodgers win the World Series.
Full disclosure, I know what the World Baseball Classic is, but I don't know what the World Baseball Classic is. Like, I know it exists. I assume it is a tournament of sorts.
It's the World Cup for baseball.
Okay.
That's what they're trying to create.
I have absolutely no idea what it is other than the fact that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it is more prestigious in baseball circles than I'm aware of.
It's not.
Okay. Well, then in that case, it holds nothing to a World Series. It just doesn't.
It's a blessing in disguise. I want the Dodgers to win the World Series. If the Americans win the World Baseball, cool. Like the idea of Mike Trout playing for the American team, which he is, facing off against Shohei Ohtani from the Japanese team, which he's going to play for, that's cool. Other than one guy gets to chirp at the other guy in the clubhouse, there's really no
stakes. I can watch that highlight on Twitter, and I'll be just fine.
Yeah.
And Mike Trout, unfortunately, doesn't need to worry about the postseason.
Well, these might be the biggest games Mike Trout ever plays in.
Right.
These may be his World Series.
This is really, really important to Mike Trout.
And like you said during the break, we could watch them face each other next season when Ohtani's on a different team.
Well, that was actually Bergman. Bergman was the one who said okay, that. Good.
Credit where credit's due. Bergman said that. Now, this is one of these. And look, Mike Trout wants to play in the great Ohtani. Go do your thing. And this goes back to like world, what's the FIBA championships in basketball, right? Every sport, the hockey has their Olympic tournament. It's fine. But there are some of these things that hold a certain level of prestige. Like the World Cup, for instance, is the most prestigious of it. It's more prestigious than the EPL or any of the other international. Yeah. That's the one you want. This is not the one you want. And if something happened to one of these guys, I get it. Something could happen to them crossing the street, opening their mail. I understand.
Right, but they didn't go out of their way to open the mail, and they didn't open the mail like in the equivalent,
exertion.
Right, the equivalent exertion of throwing 100 miles an hour. Like, they just opened the mail.
Is there the World Cup, and I'm not pretending I'm a World Cup person. We just did that a couple of months or so ago. But I get it. I get why it's important to other people. Is that the only non-league, air quotes, thing that's bigger than the leagues themselves? Is that the only one? Because the Olympics have completely lost their fastball when it comes to this stuff. And even like the World Track and Field Championships is more prestigious.
Well, the Olympics is basically, other than for basketball, or basically other than sports that have leagues, the Olympics is the only place where you do some of these sports at a high visible level at all. Like, to the best of my knowledge, there is no curling league that competes with the Olympics in terms
Anaheim
of stature.
Anaheim rink down at the Great Park, there is a curling league, and I've considered throwing my hat in the ring.
You know what I mean?
The peak of gymnastics. It's the peak of track.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Baseball does not qualify there.
No.
Basketball does not qualify there. No. Clayton Kershaw, I'm sorry that you are bummed and disappointed. I'm very glad that you will not be throwing those pitches against team, you know, Cuba in a game that, at the end of the day,
No.
Just really not there. And he can get back to spring training and answer questions about sign stealing.
My biggest concern, honestly, with this thing with Kershaw is, okay, the reason that he decided not to do it, how much is that going to linger?
He says he's 100% healthy. He says he's 100% healthy. Okay. But 100% healthy for him, I believe him. But I also know that it is a temporary state for him.
Yes.
That being 100% healthy is... Look, how many starts do you want Clayton Kershaw to make? 20? Sounds about right to me. I'm okay with him taking two extended breaks during the season. That's fine. He doesn't need to win a Cy Young. He doesn't need to do any of these things. Be Clayton Kershaw.
It just would be nice if it wasn't his back. It's always the back, and your back never gets better.
It doesn't. But look, Clayton Kershaw pitched well in the playoffs for the Dodgers last year.
I know.
He's been good. I'm not saying anything, Andy. I'm just saying. I'm not so sure it's the back or the toe or the elbow or the hair or what. It's one of those. I'm going to go chill for a couple. I got so many bullets in my gun. I'm going to go.
But he doesn't want to just say it.
Right.
He can't just say it.
He can't say it. It's the whole thing. You know what? I woke, slept funny. Well, everybody understands that.
Okay.
Everybody understands that. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, Travis, when are you going to post that selfie you took with Tiger Woods?
I believe that that has gone to my social media team, and okay. It will be posted at the appropriate time.
Tiger happens to be in the photo, so yep. He's like literally right there. But I think it was actually a pretty good selfie.
It was a bit of a drive by, for lack of a better word. I was between the 8th green and 9th tee yesterday. And I positioned myself to knew where he was either going to come down kind of the right side of the lane or the left side. I was on the right side. He chose the left, so I got a little blocked on some of it, but he's in the picture.
So it was essentially a selfie reverse photo bomb.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. But he's in it, and so am I. Like, I got a lot of face. There's a lot of Travis face in that picture.
All right, so Paul Rudd's having a great week. He had his Kansas City Chiefs win, and he has his new movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, come out this week. So he's been doing his like rounds in the press tour. So he was on BBC One this week talking to their host.
I prefer BBC Ocho.
BBC the Ocho.
So they were taking...
David Kent hates my British accent.
Does he?
He hates it so much. Blacken your boots, governor.
Well, that's more Cockney.
Sporty.
That's very specifically Cockney.
Thank you.
So they were accepting a call, and so this is the call to Paul Rudd.
Caller is on the line now. What is your question for Agony Antman, please?
Hiya, Paul. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
Hi, I wanted to pick your brains. So what would you do if you had a really good mate, like, you know, for over 20 years?
Yeah.
Like, and then this friend, yeah, he doesn't live in England, but he's come to England and he hasn't told you about it. And then not only has he not told you about it, he's come on to a radio show. What would you do?
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, no.
Would you be offended?
Personally, if it's me, absolutely not. I tend to give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Oh, God. Caller number 4, reveal yourself, please.
Hi, Paul. It's Olivia Colman.
All right. So Olivia Colman, his longtime friend, called into the show to prank him and, give him kind of crap.
That's great. That's
for not
stuff.
Saying that he was in the country. So... you have to tell your friend if you're in their city. Travis, Fetter, Cap.
Cap. Cappy Cap. It's, look, if I'm coming to your city and I want to see you, I'll reach out. Or if I have time to see you, I'll reach out. Because here's what happens if you feel like you have to do it. I'm coming through Chicago for a day. I've got a cousin in Chicago that I'm very close with, and I'd like to see him. But I'm not going to have time to do what I would like to do with why I'm there in the first place. And if they know I'm coming through, now I'm obligated to hook up, and it ruins the reason I'm there to begin with. So better to come in down and dirty, get out and say, oh, man, we missed each other, than to say, hey, and now I got to go grab a drink or a lunch or something like that. So I'm gonna go in on
Well, a situation like that where you legitimately can't do it, then I would let that cousin know. And just say, look, my schedule is jam-packed. I'm basically meetings.
But like, if you see that I'm there.
I'll come by your hotel whenever you're done. Doesn't matter.
Just let him know. I won't be at a hotel, whatever. I just wanted you to know that I thought about you, but I've tried to figure out a way to see you. I can't. But that way you don't have to hear about the idea that you didn't reach out to them at all. As far as the idea that you're obligated... You're not obligated, but it is going to be awkward if that person found out that you were there. Like, I've dealt with that before.
Could you just tell the lie, though? I heard you were out of town. Like, I reached out to mutual acquaintance. They told me you were in
Lexington.
Yeah,
but then you got to get that mutual acquaintance in on it.
Make them up.
It's got
just dig the hole deeper.
But you can't make up a mutual acquaintance. You can't do that.
That's what mutual means. They both know them.
This is why you like always apologize, ask for forgiveness, not for permission, right? Hey, I should have reached out. My bad. I was in and out so quick. I don't think it would have worked out anyway.
Sure, but all I'm saying is it creates a potential for awkwardness.
Get over it.
Taylor?
Cap, there's about three people that I would feel like a bad friend if I didn't let them know, but everybody else, it's on a need-to-know basis.
Now, maybe a little different if it's like a really unusual location, right? Like if you have a cousin that lives in
Tunisia,
good spot.
Tulsa.
And you have a layover in Tunisia.
Tulsa, I said.
I thought you said Folsom.
Tulsa, Folsom. It's
I got to be honest. If you happen to be in Folsom and you don't visit your family,
like that's what I mean.
That's
like
being a bad family member.
An exotic location like Folsom, as Taylor suggested, then you probably need to do it. But if you're just going through a major city that you're going to touch occasionally, don't have to.
I was also impressed by Olivia's accent. She did a good job of disguising herself.
I thought you were going to say you were impressed with my accent, because as far as I could tell, they were indistinguishable from one another.
So there was a long feature article in ESPN today about Chiefsaholic, who is a diehard Chiefs fan who goes to every game, spends a ton of money on the Chiefs, but he happens to get his fortune by robbing banks. So...
one does.
Yes, of course. If you had robbing banks money, you would buy tickets to your favorite sports team. Andy, fact or cap?
You know what? You don't make as much money typically robbing banks.
How would you know, Andy?
Like risk reward isn't,
From what I've read before, the risk reward for robbing banks.
They catch almost all of them.
Well, they catch you, but also you don't get nearly as much as I think people expect. Like, people, I think, sometimes picture this as like the Ocean's 11 style haul.
The vault at the Bellagio.
Right. Like, you know, very often you're, as is my understanding, you're kind of in and out. And unless you're like a professional thief, like a Neil McCauley in Heat, like somebody who knows exactly what to go for, you might go in back and hit certain of like the security boxes, things like that. Just getting the till is not nearly as advantageous financially as I think a lot of people assume.
Trev?
No, I would spend it on other things. I would not get Dodger season tickets with my bank robbery haul. I would spend it other places.
Taylor?
How is this guy public about his bank robbing? And
he got
still
caught.
Oh, he got caught.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, because Chiefsaholic stopped showing up to things.
He was posting TikToks.
People were wondering about it, and yeah, he got caught.
Hey, y'all, about to go into this bank. Watch me put on the mask and got my little wig.
Because he does wear a mask when he goes to the games. He has this like big wolf mask.
Hashtag robbery.
That's how I picture every, hey, y'all, just every TikTok.
Get ready with
like
me
it.
To rob a bank.
Oh, my gosh.
Taylor?
But yeah, I go fact. I would spend it on, you know, Kings games.
Buy the Kings. All right.
Way
so
easier way to get a Kings ticket. Travis. Taylor.
That's Taylor.
Sorry.
All right. So there's a growing amount of people who are trying to do this thing called a 5 to 9 before my 9 to 5. So like, it's on TikTok of people being productive in the morning before they go to work. So you are not productive in the morning. Taylor, Fetter Cap.
I'm semi-productive. I usually go on a run before work. Does that count?
Sure.
Yeah, that's productive.
Yeah, fact.
Trav?
Yeah, I'm good in the mornings. I get stuff done. I'm far less productive after work than I am before it. Because once you're up, let's go. Let's go. Let's get stuff done, especially early in the morning when you're not getting bombarded with the stuff that bombards us all throughout the day. Like before 9, not a lot's typically happening. I love the morning productivity.
Look, if you have a kid, you have no choice but to be productive in the morning. Like, I am up doing things, handling stuff, putting out fires.
Setting your wife's schedule.
Setting my wife's schedule. Like, you know, I get more done before 8 a.m. than most people do all day.
All right. Sergeant Kamenetsky.
Yes, I really do.
All right, so this has been a debate with my friends this week because I was telling them about the cauliflower chicken Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches they're trying to
they're making the patty
week
out of like cauliflower.
Yeah, and then my friends are big stands of the cauliflower, like buffalo cauliflower stuff. Anyway, so you can never get cauliflower things to actually taste like the thing that they're emulating. So it's always tastes like cauliflower. It doesn't taste like buffalo chicken dip or whatever else. Travis, Fetter Cap.
I want the one that is cauliflower's disgusting. I want that lane. Is fact. That fact? That's fact. Fact. Okay. There are basically two things on earth I won't eat. I'll eat almost everything. Cauliflower is one of the two things.
Really?
I just can't. It's gritty. It's disgusting. And don't tell me you haven't had it your way. Don't tell me that, oh, no, if you put it with this, that, and the, yeah, I've tried it enough times to know it is vile and disgusting and unedible to me. So anything cauliflower-based, including cauliflower, hard pass.
Andy?
I love cauliflower.
Do you really?
Yeah, Do you
also like eating buckets of sand?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. You know, medium.
Take my sand medium with my drink cheese and a bucket of sand.
That scene in Raising Arizona when Nick Cage is with his cellmate and the guy's going, when there was no meat, we ate fowl. When there was no fowl, we ate crawdads. And when there was no crawdads, we ate sand. And there's this pause. Nick Cage goes, you ate what? He goes, you ate sand. You ate sand? I like cauliflower. Like roasted cauliflower, I think is so good. As far as the taste replication factor, I don't know if cauliflower is good, I think, in terms of trying to get maybe a certain degree of texture or like a certain degree of just solidity, like solid. But cauliflower is a very specific taste. I think it's going to be difficult to make cauliflower mirror other things.
Yeah.
You just have to like the taste of it.
Taylor?
Cap, I like cauliflower, but it needs to stay in its lane. This trying to emulate other foods needs to stop.
Big cauliflower is trying to trick you, Taylor.
All right.
Conspiracy.
So a lacrosse player.
What about you?
Oh, I hate cauliflower. No,
good
thank
for you.
I was definitely on the side of, yeah, if it's cauliflower, count me out of it. So a lacrosse goalie scored in an NCAA game. And so there's a debate going around on Twitter about it, saying if a goalie scores, it should count for 2 points in any sport. If it's a goalie scoring, it should count for 2 points. So that's my statement. If a goalie scores, it should count for 2 points. Travis, Fetter, Cap.
Cap. I'm trying to hockey, soccer, lacrosse. What other sports have goalies?
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Okay. So I mean, no. It's weird. Like a hockey goalie will score maybe once a season, probably even less than that. Like Martin Brodeur would get one occasionally, but it's a very specific set of circumstances.
Would it be an open net?
It's also a very difficult thing to do.
It is for sure, but sports are the sports. Let's the goalie or anybody else won.
Okay, I don't watch lacrosse, and I don't know any of the rules or whatever or how it's played. Did the goalie leave its own goal and like run down to the other side of the field to
score? No, he came out just a little bit more than usual and just flung it and like had a bullet and got in.
I feel like that should be worth 2 points. That sounds pretty awesome.
So good question.
Do you pull the goalie in lacrosse if you're behind like you do in hockey?
I actually don't know the answer to that, but I don't think of the lacrosse games I've seen, I haven't seen anybody.
Okay, because if it's a pulled goal, I agree with Travis. Yeah. Not as impressive. If you do that, basically one end to the other,
yeah,
with an entire
talk me into it.
Entire field of other players out there, you got to navigate through that and get past the goalie. That could be worth 2 points, just degree of difficulty alone.
I'll buy that. You turn me around.
Taylor?
Cap, except for in foosball. Foosball, goalie shot needs to be two.
I think that if it's a goalie in soccer, it's punting and you get it into the other goal. But then it also would change the aspect of the game where then the goalie might be trying to push and to get two goals.
It's a bad strategy.
But isn't when the goalie scores in soccer, which happens occasionally, not very
often. It's less rare than lacrosse, but it still really happens.
It's almost always because the opposing goalie has made a terrible error, yes?
Like, isn't paying attention.
Right.
Or
out of position.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get paid double because someone else is dumb. It feels like it's not the right way to do it. All right, we'll go back to Adam Silver. He had an interesting take on load management and players not playing, and he's basically saying this is not necessarily just an NBA problem, and I think he's on to something. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Matthew Pelosi reminded me very, very clearly that Yeah, water polo does have a goalie. I completely forgot to mention it.
That's your game.
I know, but the goalie does score more often in water polo, so I don't think it should count as two. Because the pool is smaller. Almost everybody can throw it across the pool. If you're playing at that level, you can throw it across the pool. And usually at the end of a regulation or end of a quarter, people are taking shots.
You played water polo? I didn't know that.
I played water in college and I coached here for a year.
That's a hard sport.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really hard. And, you know, I think if I hopped in right now, I probably would be really out of shape doing it. But it was a really fun sport to play.
It's my understanding, too, that like once you get into the, I guess, sort of the equivalent of a scrum in water polo, bad stuff happens.
Yeah,
like, people get vicious.
There's pulling, there's tugging, there's a lot of things that go down. You know, there's a lot of scars that get left on you from being really close to people.
It's kind of really screwed up when you think about the whole drowning factor.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're in a pool. You're not rolling around on a grass field or wrestling. It's you're wrestling in the water.
Yeah, I mean, like you know, I've heard stories from Marcellus or from DeMarco or Key about like you know. In the scrum, you got people like gouging at eyes.
Squeezing.
Like, that's all bad. But at least you can breathe the whole time. Like, there's a drowning factor.
Yeah, there's the splashing, the water gets in your mouth. Like, people would splash you and you can get, like, it's kind of equivalent, I guess, icing or whatever. But, like, it's that stuff. The worst part was when I would get Charlie horses while swimming and I couldn't continue on because, like, my legs wouldn't work. They both get Charlie horses and I had to get out of the game.
I decided at a relatively young age that contacts, not for Travis. I'll stand over here and throw this. I'll stand over here and shoot this. You guys can go slam into each other over there. It's really not for me.
I played football. In high school growing up, I loved it.
You can have it. I'll watch you.
Right.
I love watching it, but when the guy running across the middle gets dropped or the guys that are basically in like 75 5-second fist fights over the course of 2 hours, not for me.
No, I get it.
Not really my cup of tea. Let's see here. If your goalie scores, it means your game is a joke. If they score often, your sport is a joke, like lacrosse. That's from James Zuber.
A little harsh.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, James. I don't have a strong take on lacrosse. It seems like it's hockey, which I like, only without the skating, so it seems all right to me.
It seems hard. I mean, if nothing else, it seems like a hell of a workout.
Yeah, there's running and there's hitting it. Like, you've got to wear a helmet. Something's happening out there. That ball's hard. It goes really fast. It seems like there's some stuff that could happen. I do believe that we've kind of, the sports that have been around for a while, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, lacrosse, these things that are, you know, soccer, that are, you know, we figured out how to score these things. We've figured out that very rarely is a scoring change something that has to happen. You see it in basketball occasionally, but it's like they're very incremental. We're not going to just say, you know what, how about if the goalie scores, it's worth 2 or 10.
Here's the thing, though. If you want to change the rules in lacrosse for that goalie score, it's fine with me. I'm not going to be watching anyway. So it doesn't matter to me if you like hurt the purity or integrity of the game. I won't know it happened. I'm just grading on what sounds cool.
I do like that. I do like just the idea of, you know, just, yeah, if you tell me the score's 25-10 and they're all counted by ones, you have my attention. If they're counted by five, we're not doing it. We're not going to break down lacrosse anymore. We're going to move on.
This was a breakdown?
Well, speaking of, and I want Greg to come in here. We'll do this on the other side. I saw a tweet that you sent out that you still don't know the rules of pickleball.
No.
That you need to be educated?
I've seen pickleball played once.
Once?
That's it.
Like on YouTube?
I was at a park with my daughter because she wanted to practice some volleyball stuff, and it was a park in Beverly Hills that happens to have like a net and like a sand area and stuff, and there's also pickleball courts. So I happened to peek in and see a little pickleball
played. Were they any good? Was it fast or slow paced?
I have no idea. I don't. Okay. I have nothing to compare it against.
Okay. Was the ball going ping, 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 or was it going ping, ping, ping?
Somewhere in between.
Okay. Because the pickleball that I've witnessed with my own two eyes is ping, ping, ping. The pickleball that I've seen on YouTube is ping, 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 ping. That looks fun and awesome. The parts that I've participated in, a little bit less fun and awesome.
Yeah, but if you're just starting out, ping, ping, probably feels like ping, 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 ping.
It does. There's running and cutting involved, so there's some cardiovascular elements
bless
to this.
Your bag.
I'll be honest, it is super fun, but the way that the real people play it looks more fun.
You know what I used to play growing up all the time? I've only played a few times as an adult because you need to be able to get access to it, but it's in the racket sport. Racquetball.
Awesome.
racquetball is so much fun.
Why did racquetball, again, this is a generational thing of our generation. Why was racquetball in like the late 70s and early 80s? There's a racquetball club like there are gas stations.
Yeah.
There was one.
Yes.
Everywhere you went, there was a racquetball club. Why? And why did it go away?
Well, as far as the rise, I would imagine that it had something to do with the tennis boom, because that was a huge era in tennis, like late 70s, early 80s. The fashion in terms of the world of exercise in the late 70s, early 80s fit well with the fashion of racquetball. You had your headbands, your leg warmers.
Goggles,
shorts, like that sort of thing.
Was there a glove involved in racquetball?
I think only if you were really serious.
I love gear. Like, if there's a piece of gear, give it to me. So I probably had the glove.
I think Logan Roy plays racquetball in Succession at one point in time.
My guess would be it was squash.
I just rewatched the series, and I knew he did an indoor racquet sport.
Squash was racquet long like this or short like that?
It's
squash. The Roys would be squash.
Squash is wealthy racquetball.
Yes.
That's really, at the end of the day.
It's like the same thing, right? Virtually?
Well, yes, except the people that I ever saw playing squash were all really rich.
UVA is a squash team. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Makes sense.
That tracks.
To wit.
I bet you Duke is very good at squash.
I think they are.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Brown would be Harvard, Yale. Like,
yes.
I don't know. CSUN probably doesn't have a squash team.
No.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not a squash court.
It just seems unlikely.
But yeah, racquetball, as far as the demise, I don't know.
Because it is fun.
It still exists.
It was a craze. I can't explain it to you. There was a racquetball club everywhere, and joining racquetball clubs was like a status symbol, and you had access to this club, and you'd have to go play outside without the back wall.
It was for the people who couldn't afford squash.
And by the way, playing racquetball without that back wall outside, that doesn't really work.
No, it does not.
The back wall is an important part of this.
Here's to let you know how racquetball was in the zeitgeist. Like, I can think of multiple movies off the top of my head that featured racquetball scenes.
Oh, yeah,
like
that still
Big Splash. Big. Yeah. I believe Fatal Attraction had a racquetball scene. Like, racquetball was huge.
They played
in
it in Loot. I don't know if you know that show. It was on Apple TV Plus. But yeah, they played racquetball in that. Or actually, maybe it's squash. And I'm confusing it again.
I've just decided that I have a new goal for the Travis and Sliwa show. And Emily, it involves you. I really want there to be a series somewhere that you have not seen. I know you haven't seen
everything. Not heard of.
That you, like, I don't know what that is. Like, I really want that to happen. Because every time she's like, there's this series on this platform that's this. And I'm like, yeah, I have no idea.
It has to be a modern one. Because I think there's some ones from, like, the back, like, in the 70s that I wouldn't be aware of.
Well, sure. No. I'm not saying that you need to be abreast of the Rockford Files. I understand that isn't something that you need to know about.
Right.
I did that for your dog, by the
way. Thank you, Bobo. He looks like James Garner.
Yes, but it has to be a modern, a present day series that I haven't heard.
Yeah, I'm completely unaware of that. That's a sentence I would like to have. I'm just gonna go to the most bizarro platforms and try to start looking for things.
I would like to know. You can hit us up on Twitter at Cam Brothers, at Travis Rogers, at Emily Hebel. Does anybody know what happened to racquetball as a culture? Why did racquetball go away?
There was, like, people would hang out at the club.
Oh,
after
absolutely.
And have beers. It was it was a social thing as much as it was a sport. Bizarre.
When I was like 9 or 10, I was in a racquetball league.
Yeah. Well, I was never in a league, but I remember we joined the Y at one point. I was probably, I don't know, maybe junior high, something like that. And one of the big selling points of the local Y was they had racquetball courts. Mm-hmm. And not just one or two, but they had like 6 racquetball courts. So you're very likely to get on it. And then the racquetball, I don't know.
I just found an article that was the rise and fall of racquetball in the United States.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
I want to read that.
I want to know why the fall happened.
Yeah, I mean, because it is really fun. It's a great workout. Like, you don't have to be maximum athleticism to be able to be good at it, like, or at least to enjoy it at the very least.
No, it's you know what? That's a really good point. Some of those things that are really good are things that you don't have to enjoy. Golf, I think you at least have to be comp to be able to get the ball in the air.
Yeah,
to be able to.
It gets frustrating otherwise.
It's terribly. You don't have to be good to play racquetball or tennis. Just hit it back to the other person, and it becomes a good time. Like, that's a huge part of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really fun sport that anybody can play.
We should after we're done with our movie.
Well, we're gonna be swimming in cash.
We are going to relaunch when that thing that you found, the rise and fall of racquetball, it's going to be the rise, fall, and resurrection of racquetball due to Travis and Andy.
You know how Clutch has gotten into the pickleball thing? Like LeBron now owns a pickleball team, like their pickleball league's picking up.
Yep.
Maybe we can start to just generate excitement about racquetball in the Southland. Rich Paul happens to be listening one time. Wheels start turning. LeBron's not going to be playing forever.
I have an idea where we're going to cross the streams.
Okay.
Our two good ideas have just become one amazing, life-altering, humanity existence-altering idea.
Racquetball playing monkey?
Stand by. Trav and Andy, 710 ESPN.